Hi everyone, welcome back to Yachting International Radio. This is Diversity in Yachting. I'm your host, Gabriella. Today we are joined by the lovely chef, Abigail Pavlik, and she is currently joining us from a boat, and I will let her introduce herself and tell us everything. Welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for having me today.
It's so nice to see you. I'm glad you had time for us and squeezed me into your busy schedule. You're on charter, right?
Maiden voyage with a boss trip on their brand new build. So it's been a very fun trip, but we're working out some kinks, and I'm the first time they've had a chef on board.
Oh, nice. Congrats. So tell us about how you got started and how long you've been doing this, please.
So I've been cooking since I was 12, and I started teaching cooking when I was 14 at a summer camp in the Hamptons. And then handed that program off to my little sister when I was working in software and decided to start chefing full time. So I was really busy. And now she actually has joined yachting as well a year ago and just got promoted to a 47 meter as head chef.
Wow. Look at you moving the way.
It's been a lot of fun to see her follow my career path. And, you know, it all started the summer camp that I was teaching at. Is actually the school that my parents put me into when I was younger, and just, you know, in kindergarten, they couldn't get me to go to school. I'd like hide in my treehouse. So my mom put me in this school that really focused on diversity, arts, you know, getting us all to kind of be involved in the garden and the slow food movement. And from there, it kind of just turned me into the person I am, especially growing up in the Hamptons where you're kind of always in a bubble. So it's been interesting.
So what you were saying, that the Hamptons is a bubble, but is it pretty diverse? Or was it just your school that was diverse?
I mean, so the idea of diversity is huge in the Hamptons, but that's because it's supposed to be so affluent. It's supposed to be so open. It is such a large, you know, artistic community that I feel like you're supposed to not really talk about race because it's not supposed to be an issue anymore.
Okay.
So I was raised again in like a, you know, a mixed race household. My dad's from Poland. And he openly always says that one of the first things he loved about my mother was her skin color. He was just enamored by her.
Yeah.
So, you know, big thing in Poland, you don't really see a lot of mixed race people. So when I'd go to Poland as a kid, I would have to just walk away from people because my cheeks would get pinched so much. So
it turned into everybody's trying to touch your hair. Oh my God, I love your hair.
Oh yeah. They're like mesmerized and like, you know, it's just, it's a little invasive, but, so going to Hayground, like I was never aware, I think, of just how much race is still a subject until we talked about it there. And then it was, you know, studying Black History Month really, really in depth and working with, you know, special poets and reverends from all over the country and, you know, working with people coming from Africa and getting into the history that I never really understood.
Yeah, that kind of helped you connect more with your roots. Because you are Black and you are Native American and Polish, mm-hmm. right? Those are the main ones. So you identify as Native American and Black, right?
Yeah, I identify with everything. That's actually one of the things that bothers me the most is when you're given a form somewhere and it's like Native American or Black. And you're like, I'm none of those things. I actually will just write none and I'll write in things because I'm like, you know. It's also not to be totally crass about it, but sometimes it matters what you put on paper when you're looking at things like, for example, if you're Native American, you get more, you know, movement with scholarships for school.
So you're forced like at a young age to try to choose. But if like me, like I'm half and half, I'm half Black and half Mexican. That's it. So it says African American and then parentheses, not Hispanic. And then it says Hispanic, not Black. And I'm just like, well, what am I supposed to put?
Yeah, it makes you feel like not only, so you're either forced to box yourself in or you're forced to completely ignore a huge part of yourself.
Yeah.
Oh, you and it's weird. It's very disorienting. I've never liked that, but even more so now as an adult, I'm like, this is just strange. And, you know, like I've been a stepmother now to mixed race kids and, you know, my boyfriend, he's Caucasian, but the kids are not. So he's really gotten me into like, really just paying attention to it. It's like the baby, he's 2 and a half and he'll say things like, oh no, I'm like you, daddy. But then he's like, oh no, I'm brown. And he's like, no, I'm white. And like, he's just very confused by it. And then especially in the social climate, it's something that now I'm more sensitive to.
Same. Me too. Especially, you know, I just got into yachting last year. So it was in the height of everything. And yeah, I'm more sensitive to it, but not like, I don't want, not in a way where people have to watch what they say, because everyone always says that, oh, I have to watch what I say because she's going to get her feelings hurt. No, but I will check you and tell you that that's inappropriate and I don't appreciate that. But in a way where I'm going to educate you if I have the energy. But like, I shouldn't even have to say that. I actually still have people asking me sometimes, like, what do you feel more? Do you feel more Black or do you feel more Mexican? And I'm like, are you like, really? Is that a real question? I don't know what I feel more. I feel Black and I feel Mexican. I feel both. I feel equally both. I identify with both cultures, but I'm not accepted by both cultures either. So, you know, I'm doing my own thing. I'm a woman of the world. I am a ethnically ambiguous chameleon, and I will get along with anybody, especially people of color.
I mean, for me, it's always been funny too, though, because I've always kind of dealt with people saying, oh, we have to stick up for our people in school because I'm mixed race. And it would be like, you know, African American kids saying that. I'm like, well, I don't understand what that means. Like, yeah. I've never really seen color because I didn't have to, again, living in that bubble where it wasn't something that was focused on. It was just people are people. Yeah. So now I've kind of had to take a step back and sometimes think a little bit more about how people that haven't grown up in that same kind of situation are affected.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, that's good. This is all like a learning experience for everybody. I'm learning a lot. I'm growing every day, you know, because I've chosen to like look more into it, and not everybody, like you said, has to think about that stuff. So there's why even educate themselves on it if it doesn't affect them. You know what I mean? So do you feel like when you got into yachting, I know chefs are regarded way differently than anybody else. Like, I have so much respect for chefs. I love, like, hopefully I marry a chef one day. I know that you guys are crazy as hell, but
I'm not.
Okay. Sure. Yes, chef. Every chef has to be crazy, especially if they're good at what they do. But like, were you ever worried? I know like you grew up a little bit differently, but were you ever worried that your being a woman of color was going to hinder you or get in your way or become an issue, or being a mother, a stepmother?
Either. So right now I'm experiencing the issue of being a woman, and even saying I have children in my household is an issue. I was recently told by somebody, oh, well, this wouldn't be for you then because you have kids. And I was like, boom. Okay. Although, and you know, the funny thing is, and I don't know how inappropriate this might be to say, but I know for a fact that the last male chef that was let go, they claimed was inappropriate towards women and aggressive towards women. So I'm like, well, which is it? Do you, you know, there's just, people don't understand that as a woman, there is a lot of strength that comes with the fact that you have kids at home or something, because you're there to do a job, do it well, there's compassion, and you don't want to dilly dally or take your sweet time. Sorry. It gets a little emotional for me because it's still a new subject. I'm 28. I'm not a mother yet. And I've taken this on and I do it. And you know, my partner and the kids miss me and I miss them, but they respect so much what I do.
Absolutely. And you know how to take care of people. That should make you a more desirable candidate for this position. Yeah. On top of your amazing chef skills, it's unfair and unfortunate, because you mean to tell me some of these captains don't have families and kids back home? Why can they do it and women can't? And that's their narrow-mindedness, thinking that you need to be home, taking care of your...
The first stew I ever worked with, she was a Brazilian woman, and she was, you know, definitely, you know, for yachting, timed out, but she was one of the hardest working and it's, you know, physically beautiful women I've ever worked with. And she was phenomenal at her job. And she specifically said, don't ever tell anybody how old I am because I won't be able to get the job. And she could keep up. She could rally. She could work. She could go out and have fun.
Yeah.
Sorry. Okay. But you know, so that was an issue too. And then, you know, my third stew, she was a, you know, woman of Caribbean descent. She was in her late 30s and she was like, you know, I'm starting to time out. So she was studying to become an engineer. Like, there's a lot of, you know, paranoia for women too, where they're going to time out. I was really close friends with a captain who once had to let a stew go because, you know, she wasn't blonde enough for the owner's, you know, taste. And she was phenomenal at her job and gorgeous. And it's just one of those things where you hear it more and more and you're like, well, that's crazy.
Yeah. Well, that's why we're having these discussions and, you know, just touching on the subjects, because we're qualified. We deserve to be here. You know, we're capable. But yeah, at the end of the day, it's not really up to us. it's the owners. They can just walk on and be like, how old is that Stu over there? I don't know. She looks a little over mm-hmm. the hill. I'm 33. Like, imagine how I feel. Luckily, I don't really look 33, but like, I have to put my birthday on my resume. And I'm wondering how many people are passing up my resume because they see 1987 on there.
Yeah. Well, that was the thing that I was thinking about today when I was getting ready to have this conversation with you, is like, we're forced to put down our relationship status, our ethnicity, our birthdays. Like, we have to put down so much information. I get transparency, and yes, we're traveling for a living, so they have to have all these details, but there is, I always say, there's no HR in yada. There's nothing there to protect you from things that are otherwise illegal, and yeah, things that you might not know that that's the reason why you were passed up for the job, but because they're not going to tell you, but you were forced to share information that most employers do not get up front.
Exactly. I know. And yeah, like you said, you'll never know. But I did see this today. Let me pull it up, which is, it was in our unicorn WhatsApp group. Did you see
it? Oh, I saw that.
So yeah, for all of you viewers out there, at the end, Burgess posted a job opening. And at the very bottom, it says, Burgess are an equal opportunity employer. We celebrate diversity and are committed to creating an inclusive environment for all employees. Bravo, Burgess. I mean, at least they're saying something. They're not pretending it's not real. And they're saying, we're trying to change this. So that's really good. Like, I've never seen that disclaimer on any yacht recruitment website ever. So, I mean, that's one step forward, one small step for humanity, for mankind. So that's exciting. But aside from being denied a job because you have children, that's just so wrong. I can't even wrap my brain around that. Has being a Black, brown, Indigenous person ever gotten in? Like, have you ever been treated differently? Has anyone ever said anything?
Not for me. Not that I've noticed. I mean, if it has, but I mean, again, I've been pretty fortunate where my career took off pretty well and pretty quickly,
yeah,
especially after winning the Newport Charter Show. I didn't want to do it because I was the only girl. I was young. You know, they were all male chefs that were, you know, way older than I was and in the industry a lot longer. My captain forced me to do it.
Nice.
And he's always been like a dad where he's like, nope, you're doing it. He's like, you have to. So, you know, I got lucky. But then I remember I heard from one of my friends when I called them to tell them I won the competition. They're like, oh yeah, I already heard. It's one of the people who didn't win said some little girl from the boat Enterprise won. And she goes, oh, I know that little girl. And called me.
You were what, probably like 23 or something?
I was 25 at the time.
Wow, good for you. You go, Glen Coco.
Glen Coco's trying.
I love to see it. I love it. I mean, obviously, I wish if I could go back and do my life all over again, I would have started yachting sooner. But then again, I don't know if I would have had the strength to deal with this type of rejection or discrimination when I was younger, because we weren't having these conversations.
I mean, I will openly say that just from when I first became really immersed in the industry, like 7 years ago, which was, you know, 4 years before I decided to join, it's come a long way. Definitely has. It's not something like, you know, obviously I haven't experienced some of the things that like maybe you've experienced. So I can't say personally, but I've seen it come a very long way where, and you know, just the fact that this conversation's happening means that there's more and more people that are even attempting and that are just, you know, making waves. And it's, you know, it's the year. The bottom line is
there's a shift happening.
Everything's changing, and just the idea of making it a conversation and the idea of making people aware. And then sometimes the issue is that maybe it has been that people did not feel comfortable enough to join. Like you were saying, maybe you wouldn't have felt more comfortable enough or strong enough to do it. So now maybe there's more and more people and there's a support system. So now it's kind of in the owner's face that maybe, you know, race, skin color, hair, whatever, you know, body type, whatever it might be, it's, you know, it doesn't have an effect, and the best person for the job is eventually going to come through. Absolutely. Especially if you have a lot of people that aren't good enough for the job or the industry that keep sliding through.
Oh my gosh. That's my biggest thing. It's like, well, I would rather hire someone with actual life experience that has been through some things, that has a different worldview, that can add a lot and bring a lot to the table, as opposed to someone that's mediocre, but they have the right look, or not even mediocre, just has nothing to do
with it. But that gets seen. It gets seen and it does come through eventually. The problem is that it takes too long sometimes.
Yeah.
And these boats and guests take a beating in the meantime.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
But then eventually, you know, the right person will come through. And that's, you know, I recently left a program that I loved because the captain and I were not the right fit. I felt that I was being talked down to, and it just, you know, and I kept being told, well, that's yachting. That's how it is. And I said, well, that's not how my yachting is going to be.
Right. Actually, my very first yacht, I'm not naming any names. I was having a really hard time. The chef on that boat, on my first day, we went to like a cookout. Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh, this is the life. I'm eating lobster. I'm eating oysters. Everything was great. And the chef like squeezes in next to me like, so I'm really conservative. And I'm just like, cool, dude, like, good for you. And his husband was like there. And so I was like, oh, yay, another queer. And he's like, that's inappropriate. And I was like, what? Like, it was just so weird, like the situation. Like, he's telling me, he's like, Christian, I'm gonna fire this leaf blower guy.
He's making his rounds.
I know, if he doesn't do his job, like, my sister is gonna call him and be like, why didn't you, you know, let's just wait for him to pass. But for real though, like, so he wanted me to know that he was very conservative Christian, and that I guess I couldn't call him gay, even though he was gay. Mm-hmm. So it was just a weird situation. And I remember on my last day on the boat, him and I went for lunch, just us two, because I was like, you know, it's my last day. Let me just give this guy a shot. Let me just give him a chance. And he was like, I don't know why you always have to make it known. Like, I'm black. I'm a black woman. I am bisexual. I am queer. Like, why do you have to? He's like, I don't see color. I just see a woman. Or I'm like, okay, but you see gender then. And he's like, and he was telling me he didn't identify with being gay. And I'm like, but you have a husband. Like, what? I fall in love with people's souls. I'm like, okay, like, this is too much for me. This is weird. I don't know what is going on. And then when I complained to like other people in yachting or like would vent, it'd be like, welcome to yachting, or like, better get used to it now. And I'm just like, do I though? Like,
I mean, we all have to get used to what we decide to get used to. For me, again, like, I've never really seen color. I've never really seen certain things. So I've kind of let it roll, like, you know, so, what are you doing with that white guy? Like, you know, black guys. And it's a thing where, like, sometimes, because I'm supposed to like narrow myself down and I'm supposed to belong to a group or an ethnicity, and that's just not how I am, and I've never seen it. So that's also why I don't identify, I don't narrow myself, you know, down. So, and I also don't do the same to other people.
Mm-hmm.
And then there are people that are more vocal like you about it, which I think is important. It's necessary. And that's something that's, if it's important to you, then say it.
Yeah.
Talk about it. But I also get some people being like, you know, that don't understand it. Sometimes it's a comfortability issue for them. Sometimes it's something they're still coming to grips with. So right. It took a while for him to come out. So maybe that's why he has a hard time saying it a lot.
Absolutely. And he was much older than me. He grew up in a different time.
Yeah. You know? So it's like kind of quieter. It's still that don't ask, don't tell kind of phase. Yeah. Of life. We have to kind of, but that's just it. Like, I always come at it from, oh, there's dolphins right outside my window.
Oh, I love that. No, but so, yeah, I think it's like, yachting is teaching me that the way someone's treating me is more about them than it is about me. So that's why you can't take things personal. And
exactly.
You know, if it wasn't for yachting, I think I would still be the combative, defensive, like, I felt like I was always fighting. It was always me against the world. And I was always explaining myself. And I was always, you know, defending myself. But like, I've come to a place where I'm just like, if someone's giving me shit, I'm just like, okay, but you know, my favorite thing now is if someone's being just like crazy rude or disrespectful, I'm just like, are you okay? Like, are you okay? And then they like snap out of it and they're like, yeah, I'm fine. And like walk away and it gets awkward. But that's my way of being like, hey, it's okay. I'm okay. You don't need to talk to me like that. I'm an adult. But instead of getting an attitude or getting salty, I'm just like, are you okay? And usually people like snap out of it right away. And it's the best thing ever. actually. The best way to diffuse a situation.
One of the biggest things that I've been learning throughout, like, actually joining yachting is life gets really serious when you don't own your own time. So you really decide where you want to put it and how you want to spend that energy. Because, you know, figure you're on for 3 months straight and you get 1 week to yourself. Where do you want to spend that? How do you want to spend that? So I always say, like, joining yachting, I think, is the most like the woman I've always wanted to become, I've ever felt. And So I'm settling into that skin more and more. And it's like, it's a really good feeling. And then seeing my little sister evolve in just 1 year, it's like, you know, what does this industry have for us? So you have to kind of just, learn to just let things roll. You're living in close quarters with all kinds of people who are sometimes really crazy.
Yes.
Like, it takes a special kind of person to join this industry. Everybody's running away from something or towards something.
Yes.
And, you know, they've got something to prove. They've got an adventure that they want to find. So you kind of just have to sit and see and, you know, be really easygoing. Like, you know, my old boss, she always said, she was like, you're one of the most easygoing personalities I've ever seen. You don't get crazy. I'm like, who does it help if I get nuts? Like, I had a gay male steward who was told that it would be really impossible for him to find that position. So he should really just be on deck. He said, I don't want to be on deck. So he said, I like doing table decoration. And we ran what we called the unicorn yacht with a fantastic captain who was a little unorthodox, but a sweetheart. And we had our weird little funny family. And my little sister called our boat our weird little treehouse that we just like ran up and down. And we ran a strong charter program that was not what people, you know, always heard of. I was, you know, we had a female mate, female chef, and a gay male steward and a male captain. And it worked for us.
I love that. I can't wait till I find my unicorn boat. You know,
there are men out there too, though. That's the thing. It's like, it's not like I thought, I was like, where am I ever going to find this program again? And then going freelance now, it's fun just bouncing around to all these different programs, seeing different people, learning different stories. It's the best thing I could have done.
I think if I was a chef, I would do freelance for sure. Because you're in and you're out and you're just there making food. And everyone has to like respect the chef and be nice to the chef because we got to eat.
Sometimes they're not, though. You'd be shocked.
I think that the people that don't have respect for chefs never worked in a Michelin star restaurant or a high-end or fine dining restaurant on land, because I was terrified of my chefs growing up. I've been called an idiot, which I think is pretty funny now at this point, because back then, you know, as a server, I was an idiot. I was pretty dumb. I was messing things up. I was, you know, not putting the right modifications on the tickets. And I was a hot mess at some point, but I was terrified of my chefs. But once I earned their respect, they shared their knowledge with me.
I'm not scary. I'm mom. I'm like, who needs breakfast? But the funny thing too is, like, at home, that's my time to like really get into like having fun creating. So I'll like go back to work and I'll have like these billionaires hiring me to cook for them. And I'm, you know, going, well, this is the baby's favorite thing. It's a Thai green curry with a whole roasted grouper. Like, oh, okay. And, you know, then I go home and I plate for a 2.5-year-old and he sits in his high chair and goes, ooh, wow, it's muscles.
And then he digs into it with his hands and smears it all over his face.
He tells me I need to cut it whenever he can't cut with his fork. Oh, he's trying. God.
So cute. I mean, toddlers are not much different than the billionaires that you're feeding anyway. So
precisely. They love a chicken finger far more than him. Like, I go into Finster Murphy's like during the lockdown in Florida. And I'm like, do you have any mussels? They're like, no, we have our frozen ones that we've already cooked. I said, ooh, I don't know if he'll like those. He likes the way we make them. And I have him sitting right there with me, his face mask, going, it's hot. I'm like, well, you know, maybe we'll take oysters, but in case he doesn't like those, let me get some clams. Like, I've lost. And I'm like, should we try caviar today, Bubba? Like, it's not okay, but it's part of the, but partially, honestly, part of that comes from me knowing that he, like I've said to his dad, like the baby comes from his mom is, you know, she's a little bit more, that makes me concerned for him in this world. So I kind of feel like if I give him this super high standard of living and lifestyle, it makes him a little less at risk. And that's, it's maybe not the right way to go about it, but it's a thing I do because I'm scared.
Right. Well, I mean, my niece says some things sometimes where I'm just like, you can't say things like that, honey. Like, you know, like I'm trying my best because I'm the world traveler in this house. So like, I feel like I have a duty like to make these kids aware. And so they don't have to go through some of the same stuff I went up through, what I grew up with, like, you know, the lack of, for me, it was like the identity thing. Where do I fit? Like, where do I belong? Like, you know, I don't want them to experience any of that. So I'm trying to teach them to love their natural hair, love the themselves. Like, don't let anyone tell you you're not good enough, because you are, and you're mm-hmm. amazing. You have more to bring to the table because you have a different lens, because the way we grew up, you know, I think it's important. So you're doing, you're like what you're supposed to be doing. I think it's beautiful. I think you're gorgeous, and I bet you're one hell of a cook. I mean, after the background, I'm like getting hungry over here. So I'm proud of you. I'm just meeting you, but I'm proud of you. And it makes me proud to see women like you on boats like that, and your sister doing such great things and paving a way for other people, you know?
It's been a really interesting journey, and it's one that I'm really excited to continue. So I'm not done with yachting for at least, you know, a while.
No, you got the time. You're only 28. I'm jealous a little. Yep. 28 was a good year. So live it up.
I'm excited. My birthday just passed.
Because, you know, because you're not like a little girl anymore, but you're not like, not yet a woman. Is that Britney Spears? Was I just quoting Britney Spears? That's embarrassing.
Work. They just did that big documentary on her, so I'm all about it.
Did you watch it? I haven't even seen it yet.
No. I'm tired from service. I passed out, but I wanted to. I was working
16 hours yesterday. I don't have time to watch a Britney Spears documentary.
I really wanted to. The mate came down to my cabin to like drop off a charger, and he was like, "Oh, you watch your Britney?"
Yeah, no, I'm good. So after this charter, you're gonna continue freelancing then?
Absolutely. They've booked me again for a month in the Bahamas before the summer season. I might go up and do some trips with them, but right now I'm actually working on a project that I'm very excited about. So I'll announce more when it comes. I have an investment meeting with, so I'm kind of trying to stop taking jobs, because since I quit my full-time job, I was like, I'm going to take at least 1 month, and I haven't been home for more than a few days at a time.
Oh,
I just hopping on a trip, and so right now I'm trying to really make sure that I don't take more work.
And you're starting your own business then? What's happening?
So I started a blog that I actually have to get back to, because I was just so busy with my program right before I left. It's called Naughty Girl Cookery, and it's basically about me and my sister running around in the Hamptons before we joined yachting, and like our recipes, and just, you know, hilarious. It's like Sex and the City meets cookbook kind of thing.
I love it.
I was working on that for a bit, and then I wanted to work on a product line, but that's on hold because I'm going to be working with somebody on maybe making it a very legitimately launched thing. So I'm working on a few different projects right now and trying to give myself the time to do it.
So, yeah.
I've been fortunate on this trip that the owners are so incredible, and I actually knew them through my previous boat. Before I agreed to do the trip, I didn't know that. So I've been really fortunate that like this interview and like catch up on recipes, and they're wonderful. So getting myself organized and gearing up for a really exciting 2021.
That is so great. I'm so happy for you, and I'm gonna follow your journey. Can you please let our viewers know where they can find you on Instagram?
Yep, I'm at Naughty Girl, N-A-U-T-I, Naughty Girl Cookery. And then I also have my website with the blog and different recipes that are going to be more frequent.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much for joining us today. It's been a pleasure talking to you, and I can't wait to see what you have up your sleeves and your chef's coat in the future.
Thank you so much, Gabby. I'm really looking forward to staying in touch, and, you know, definitely once I have some more coming on, hopefully we can chat again.
Absolutely, I would love to. Thank you. Thank you guys for tuning in to Diversity in Yachting. Again, this is Abigail Pavlik, and I'm Gabriella. Have a good day and stay tuned.